Lesson 26. Acts chapter 26, viewed from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Acts chapter 26 is not a simple defense performed for personal protection before King Agrippa. This chapter is a testimony in which the gospel of the water and the Spirit was proclaimed most compactly and clearly before the greatest king and people in power of that time. Through the lips of Paul, it tells us what a person who possesses the already completed salvation says before the highest authority of the world, and how the essence of that gospel is revealed. Acts chapter 26, verses 1 through 3, attitude before the king, about the confident testimony of the gospel beyond excuses. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You are permitted to speak for yourself." So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently." When Agrippa says to Paul that he is permitted to speak for himself, Paul stretches out his hand and answers for himself. He says, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews," and rejoices especially that the king knows well all the customs and problems of the Jews. Paul's attitude was not a servile excuse, but a testimony filled with conviction. This made clear that he did not come to beg for his life, but came to testify to the king about the gospel of the water and the Spirit that God accomplished in history. Acts chapter 26, verses 4 through 8. The starting point, about the declaration toward the fulfillment of the hope pointed to by the law. My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now, I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Paul says that all the Jews know his life, spent from his youth among his own nation in Jerusalem, and reveals, if they were willing to testify, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. He declares that his standing here and being examined now is for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. Paul emphasizes that he is not a destroyer of the law, but rather a person who has reached the hope of resurrection, that the law had so pointed to and waited for, that is, the reality of the completed salvation passed through the baptism and the cross of Jesus. Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through 11. The limit of zeal. About the ignorant religious passion that makes one oppose the truth. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Paul confesses that in the past, he himself thought he must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and did these things in Jerusalem. He recalls that, having received authority from the chief priests, he shut up the saints in prison, cast his vote of approval when they were put to death, punished them often in every synagogue, compelled them to speak blasphemous words, and persecuted them, even going to foreign cities. This shows that when human religious zeal fails to meet the truth, called the gospel of the water and the spirit, it can rather become a weapon that most violently opposes the work of God. Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 18, the Damascus Revelation, about the total transition of the salvation structure and the impartation of the mission. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen, and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Paul, who saw a light brighter than the sun on the way to Damascus, hears a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The Lord sends Paul to the Gentiles and gives him the mission to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is the essence of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. It makes one close the religious sight of humans and see the event of God, and makes one escape from the power of condemnation, and obtain as one's own the fact of the elimination of sin that Jesus has already accomplished by the baptism at the Jordan River and the cross. Acts chapter 26, verses 19 through 23. The content of obedience, about the ministry of proclaiming the completed salvation as it is. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Paul says, Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and Jerusalem, and to all the land of Judea, and to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. The core he preached was the fact that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Paul's obedience was not creating a new act, but proclaiming the history of salvation, completed by the baptism, suffering, and resurrection of Jesus, exactly as it is. Acts chapter 26, verses 24 through 29, the reaction of power, about the ridicule of the intellect, and the demand for decision before a shaken conscience. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, You almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today, might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. As Paul makes his defense like this, Festus cries out with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. Paul retorts that he is not mad, but speaks words of truth and sanity, and asks King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. That Agrippa answered, You almost persuade me to become a Christian, was the reaction of a conscience shaken before the gospel. The gospel of the water and the Spirit powerfully demands an ontological decision, going beyond simple emotion, from those in power. Acts chapter 26, verses 30 through 32. The confirmation of the verdict, about the declaration of innocence, and the providence of God toward Rome. When he had said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor and Bernice, and those who sat with them. And when they had gone aside, they talked among themselves, saying, This man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains. Then Agrippa said to Festus, This man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. The king, the governor, Bernice, and those who sat with them all stand up, go aside, and acknowledge among themselves, saying, This man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains. Agrippa says to Festus, This man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. It was confirmed once again that the gospel is a truth that cannot be condemned by worldly law. However, the reason Paul was not set free was because his mission was to testify to this gospel of the water and the Spirit to the end, at the center of the world called Rome, and God opened that way through this legal procedure. In conclusion, Acts chapter 26 testifies that the gospel of the water and the Spirit is not intimidated or reduced even a little before the authority of the king. Paul's change was not a simple improvement of character, but an event where the salvation structure itself was completely overturned, and the resurrection he preached was God's public guarantee of the completion of the elimination of sin. Worldly power may ridicule this truth as mad words or avoid making a decision, but the fact of the completed salvation does not stop and advances toward Rome. This is the confident victory of the gospel that Acts chapter 26 shows. A sermon by Paul C. Jong. The word from Acts chapter 26, verses 1 through 32, is a chapter showing how the gospel is proclaimed in a perfect form before the king and the governor through the testimony of one person. When reading this word from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit preached by Pastor Paul C. Jong, it can be known that Paul's defense is not a simple self-defense, but a final sermon publicly testifying to the fact of salvation that God has already accomplished. When Agrippa said to Paul that he is permitted to speak for himself, Paul stretched out his hand and made his defense, saying that he considered himself happy to make his defense today, before King Agrippa, concerning all the things of which he is accused by the Jews. He revealed that the fundamental reason he was accused was because of the hope of the resurrection promised to the ancestors, and asked, Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? This hope of resurrection is not a vague expectation, but a conviction based on God's judgment, that the price of sin was completely paid by the merit of the water's baptism, by which Jesus Christ took charge of our sins at the Jordan River, and the blood by which he received the judgment of those sins on the cross. Paul did not hide his past appearance of doing many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, shutting up the saints in prison, and casting a vote of approval when they were put to death. He prided himself on serving God more zealously than anyone else within the tradition of Judaism. But in reality, he was rejecting and opposing the salvation ministry that God accomplished. This well shows how dangerous a faith is that holds only onto human zeal and the tradition of the law without knowing what the gospel is. However, when a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone around Paul and his companions at noon on the way to Damascus, he fell to the ground and heard the Lord's voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." What changed Paul was not the intensity of the light, but the word of the Lord, and through this, he came to realize that Jesus, whom he was opposing, was exactly the living Savior. The Lord appointed Paul as an apostle to the Gentiles and gave him the mission to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the elimination of sin and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. The transition from darkness to light does not simply mean the improvement of acts, but means obtaining the elimination of sin. By believing the reality of the gospel, that sins were transferred by the baptism of Jesus, the judgment ended on the cross, and the Holy Spirit testifies to that fact. Paul confessed, "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem, and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance." Here, repentance is turning away from one's own righteousness and moving the heart to the completed ministry of Jesus Christ, and that faith, being revealed as life, is exactly the fitting fruit. Paul emphasized that the Jews tried to seize and kill him, but having obtained God's help, his standing to this day and testifying before small and great was nothing other than what the prophets and Moses said would necessarily happen. That was exactly that the Christ would suffer, and that he would be the first to rise again from the dead, and would proclaim light to Israel and to the Gentiles. As Paul made his defense like this, Festus cried out with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." But Paul boldly answered, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason." This is because the content Paul preached was not personal speculation, but a truth based on the historical facts of the baptism at the Jordan River, the cross, and the resurrection. When Paul asked King Agrippa, "Do you believe the prophets?" Agrippa stepped back a pace, saying, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." At this time, Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today, might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." This earnest confession was the apostle's love, wanting to share even with those in power the true freedom that the gospel of the water and the Spirit gives, going beyond the longing for human freedom. Although Paul was in a bound body, he was truly free within the conviction of the elimination of sin. And although those in power were free in body, they remained in a state of being unable to make a decision before the truth. The king, the governor, Bernice, and those who sat with them all stood up, went aside, and spoke among themselves, saying, "This man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains." To this, Agrippa said to Festus, "This man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." Acts chapter 26 asks us whether we are boasting of human zeal or testifying to the completed hope. The person who knows this gospel, that Jesus Christ took charge of our sins at the Jordan River, received judgment on the cross, and the Holy Spirit testifies to this, is bold in any situation and enjoys true freedom even in bonds. This is the final victory of the gospel of the water and the Spirit that Acts chapter 26 proclaims. Questions and Answers from Acts chapter 26. Question 1. How did the majesty of this gospel continue even before Governor Festus, who succeeded Felix, and King Agrippa? In Acts chapters 25 and 26, the appearance of Paul standing before Governor Festus and King Agrippa directly shows how much higher a spiritual status a person who possesses the gospel of the water and the Spirit has than the greatest people in power of the world. Governor Festus viewed Paul's case as a political problem, but Paul transitions that place once again into a chapter of gospel proclamation. In particular, the defense performed before King Agrippa in chapter 26 contains the essence of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Paul testifies that the Lord he met on the road to Damascus said, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Here, the expression, "the elimination of sin, and those who are sanctified," means the legal state, realized only through the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Paul makes it clear that the message he preaches does not destroy the Jewish tradition or the law of Moses, but rather testifies to the completion of the suffering and resurrection of the Messiah prophesied by the prophets, that is, the baptism and death bearing the sins of the world. Festus cried out that Paul's learning had driven him mad, but Paul retorts, saying, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason," and rather launches a counterattack toward King Agrippa, saying, "Do you believe the prophets?" This is the confidence that a righteous person with the conviction of the elimination of sin can have, and it is the majesty of the gospel that rather invites the judges of the world to the spiritual judgment seat. Ultimately, Paul puts the climax on his defense by saying to King Agrippa, "Not only you, but also all who hear me today, might become both almost and altogether such as I am." Although Paul was in the body of a bound prisoner, he was a spiritual freeman who transferred all sins by the baptism of Jesus and obtained justification on the cross. On the other hand, because Agrippa and Festus, wearing splendid royal robes, were spiritual prisoners still bound by the chains of sin, Paul wanted them to believe the gospel of the water and the Spirit like himself, and become truly righteous people. This scene awakens us today as well, that the one who has the gospel must not yield to the environment of the world, but rather must live conquering that environment as a channel of the gospel.